Perek Dalad, Mishnah Zayim. Ha'ovir l'fnei ha'teva, b'yom tov, shel Rosh Hashanah, ha'sheni matkia. A person who goes to daven as the shliach tzibur, as the chazin, on Rosh Hashanah, he goes up to the amud to daven for the amud. So we're referring to the sheni, the second shliach tzibur, the second chazin, because there's a chazin for shachars, and there's a chazin for musaf. So the second shliach tzibur, the second chazan, who's davening musaf, matkia. What does that mean? Is it matkia et ha-tekios al seder ha-brachos? He calls out the tekios in the order of the brachos, right? And then they have a bal tokea who blows a shofar for the kahal. Below ha-rishon, that's not the one that davens shachris. There recites the order of the tekios, rather the chazan. For Musaf, he recites the order, and as he recites the order, there's a Baal Tokeh that blows the shofar. And the Gemara explains that really, Barishona, in the beginning, you know, initially, they would blow the shofar in the morning, right? Until a terrible, unfortunate event happened where the Romans heard the shofar blast, and they thought that the Jews were waging war against them. And they stood up, and they killed many, many Jews. It was an awful incident. And from then on, they made a takana that they would only blow the shofar by musaf. Because once the enemy, if there'd be an enemy nearby, if they saw that they were blowing the shofar after already their first shachris prayer and after reading the Torah, so they would understand that they're doing it for a mitzvah and not for war. And mikan she'ein tokum al musaf, therefore we only blow the shofar by musaf later in the day. And that which we say the sheni is matkia, meaning even in those days, right, they had the minhag that the chazan was not the one that also blew the shofar. Rather, the chazan would tell the Baal Tekeah, you know, what brachos when to blow, and then the Baal Tekeah would do the blowing. Because if the chazan himself does the blowing, he'll get confused with his davening. He's davening; he can't do both, right? So therefore, he would just say the order, and then a second Baal Tekeah would actually do the blowing, like we do nowadays. Either the one davening for the amud for musaf, or just, you know, the gabbai of the shul will say the order, and then the Baal Tekeah is the one that blows a shofar, not the actual chazan, so that the chazan does not get confused with his tefillah. Ubishas ha-halal, and similarly during the times of halal, this is referring to any other yom tov, sukkis or pesach. So then by halal harishon, the first shliach tzibur, the first chazan, the one that davens shachris for the amud, he is makar es ha-halal, he calls out the halal before the kahal, and they respond after him, haleluka, after his, you know, each psalm that he says, they respond, haleluka. This is coming from a Mishnah in Masechta Sukkah, Parak Gimel Mishnah Yud, if you want to reference it, chapter 3, Mishnah 10 in Masechta Sukkah. There we explain, according to the Rambam, the minhag of how the halal was done in those days. And briefly, I can just jump to it. You know, nowadays we all say the whole halal together. But in those days, they would either repeat, you know, each verse by verse, or they had different ways where they would say the whole verse and then they would respond haluka to go on the entire verse. So the different ways that they did it for the illiterate people that couldn't read, some would say it on their behalf and they would respond haluka. So what we're saying is that when it comes to halal, it's not the Baal Musaf, the second chazan, that says the halal and everyone responds in kind, but it's the first one that's davening shachris, he's the one that says it. And that's the contrast to Rosh Hashanah, when you blow a shofar, that's the Baal Musaf, the second shliach tzibur, who says the order of the brachos, and the Baal Tokeah would build a shofar accordingly. Alright, that's Mishnah Zion. Mishnah Ches. Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah. A shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Ein ma'avirin alav esatcham. A person is not permitted to leave the city boundaries on Rosh Hashanah, which is normally 2,000 amos from outside the city limits, in order to bring a shofar. You know, there's no shofar in shul, he wants to bring it. He can't go that far. Or if he wants to go to a destination where they're blowing the shofar, he can't go that far. And the Gemara explains that blowing the shofar, yes, it's a mitzvah aseh, it's a positive commandment, but resting on Yom Tov is a mitzvah aseh and it's a los aseh. It's a positive commandment to rest, and it's a negative commandment if you don't rest. And therefore, if you have a positive commandment to blow the shofar, and a positive and a negative to keep the Yom Tov, the positive and the negative overrides the only positive. And therefore, if you can't get access to a shofar, you do not desecrate Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Tov, to get access to that shofar. Similarly, if mafakin alav sagal, if a pile of stones fell on a shofar, you cannot remove the stones on Rosh Hashanah to access the shofar, because removing the stones is mukta. We don't desecrate the yamtiv, like we just said, to access the shofar. Lo olan be'ilan, the shofar is on top of a tree. You can't go on top of the tree and climb it to get the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, because we're afraid that if you start climbing on the tree, you may come to break a branch, and that's prohibited on Rosh Hashanah. If a person is ill and he can't make it to shul to hear the shofar, maybe he'll want to go on a donkey and the donkey will bring him. Nope, that's prohibited as well, because you can't ride an animal on Yom Tov on Rosh Hashanah, lest you cut off a branch from a tree in order to guide the animal on its way. You cannot swim to get access to a shofar, because the Chachamim made a gzera lest you go ahead and build a boat. And you cannot cut it. If you have a shofar, that has to be fixed, that has to be cut up to make it, you know, usable. You can't do that either on Rosh Hashanah. Whether the cutting is on a rabbinic level or it's on a Torah level, which is and it would incur a negative commandment. Either way, it doesn't matter. It's prohibited. And they explain over here that whether it's something which is a rabbinic gezeira, you know, for example, you want to use a sickle. A sickle is not the normal way. You cut a shofar. So you're doing it kla'achar yad. You're doing it with a shino. You're doing it with a change. Nevertheless, it's prohibited. All the more so if you want to use an actual knife, which is the normal way, which is a negative commandment on a Torah level, it's prohibited to do that on Rosh Hashanah because you cannot desecrate the Yom Tov, whether on a Torah level or an Arabic level, to use a shofar on Yom Tov. Aval, but in Ratzah, if he wants, leading the tocha mayim or yain, if he wants to put water or wine into the shofar to make the blowing clearer, yitain, that he could do, because that's not really a real tikkun, you're not really fixing it, and that's permitted. Ein ma'akvin es atinokos milatkoa. Now, we don't withhold children from blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. If they want to blow the shofar, as we say in Yiddish, gezunt heit, let them blow it. However, you should teach them how to do it, right? Meaning, not only do we not withhold the children from blowing the shofar themselves on Rosh Hashanah, rather, even for the older people, let's to work with them to teach them how to blow the shofar. The Gemara explains, even on Shabbos to be permitted. Even though normally on Shabbos we don't blow the shofar. And the Ran explains that the Kavanah here is when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, and so too it's Masha from the Yerushalmi, Dafke, if it's Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah collide together, it's permitted to teach the children how to blow a shofar on Shabbos when it collides with Rosh Hashanah, but on any other Shabbos. And I believe nowadays, when we don't blow the shofar at all on Shabbos, it'll be totally prohibited. Okay? And Rashi explains that we're talking about children that have already reached the age of chinuch, meaning you could educate them on the mitzvahs. It's a dispute what the age is, but let's just say it's the age of 9, as an example. When they reach that age, you could teach them how to blow the shofar, even on Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, at least during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Nowadays, I believe it would be prohibited. And let's see over here. Okay, that's that. And Mutter Lagadol, she's asking men, could they learn the Yom Tov yet? The older, a gadol, an adult, can teach them as well on Yom Tov, how to blow the shofar, and whether it's the katat shigi lechinach, bench katat shlogi lechinach, right. So, shetkin, asura el mishum shvus, they bring down over here that it's permitted for an adult to be involved with the teaching of the child on Yom Tov, how to blow the shofar, whether the child has reached the age of chinach, or whether he has not reached the age of chinach. Because the blowing of the shofar is only in Asura Ela Bishum Shvus, only prohibited on a rabbinic level on Shabbos, and therefore that would be permitted. Okay, interesting. There's actually a number of different opinions here of what kind of children we're talking about, whether the age of Chinuch or not the age of Chinuch. There's a whole bunch of shitas. So just to conclude and recap, let's make this clear. We're talking about over here, at least according to one opinion, that you could teach the children how to blow a shofar as long as the children reach the age of chinuch. For example, the age of 9, where they understand mitzvot, you could be mechanchim, you can educate them, then you could teach them how to blow a shofar. Even on Shabbos, right, you could teach them when it's Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah. And this is at least in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Nowadays, it's questionable whether you can do that or not. I believe you can't, but you can check with your local halachic authority what the status would be. But let's recap the halacha with this conclusion so we have clarity, because there's a number of opinions over here. Okay, and then lastly, the Mishnah concludes, v'hamis asek, the person, let's just say a person is teaching a child how to blow the shofar, for example. So lo yatsa, don't think you fulfill the mitzvah of the shofar with, you know, the child's blowing, or even an adult's blowing, for adults teaching an adult. V'hashomea v'hamis asek lo yatsa also. Meaning, whether it's children, whether it's adults, let's just say even in the case of adults, if a person is just practicing blowing the shofar, when he's done practicing, he can't think to himself, okay, I got my mitzvah. Because you were just practicing. You didn't have the intent to be motzi yourself, to fulfill the mitzvah yourself. And similarly, the person's helping someone how to blow a shofar. The person helping him can't think afterwards, okay, now I got my shofar blast, I heard it from my student who's learning. No, it's not the way it works. Because both parties have to have the intent to fulfill the mitzvah if they're blowing the shofar for themselves, then for themselves, and not just for practice. And if a person's helping another person blow the shofar, then both people have to have the intent to fulfill the mitzvah. The one blowing has to have the intent that he's doing the mitzvah of blowing, not just for practice, but an actual mitzvah. And not just for himself, but for the one who's helping him as well. And the one that's helping him has to have the intent to fulfill the mitzvah through the one that's blowing. So it takes two to tango. Right? If a person is blowing the shofar himself for practice, he only fulfills the mitzvah if he had the intent to do it as a mitzvah, not as practice. And if a person is helping another person do the mitzvah of shofar, they both have to have the intent that, number one, it's for a mitzvah, not just for practice. Number two, that the one who's listening is fulfilling the mitzvah through the blower. And the blower is going to have the intent to fulfill the mitzvah for himself and for the one who's listening from him. So we had touched upon this point before. Now we're saying it again. And that concludes Mishnah Ches.